Okay, today we hope to finish the Maimer HaRavi and take a quick course in biology. So we're on page 145. Four lines in the bottom, the last word, Va'achar Kach, Va'achar Kein, Omru. The idea here is to try to show the king the fact that the Shas, Chazal, is full of a lot of secular knowledge. And it's interesting the variety of medical things that he brings as an example. He runs from one to the next. Achar Kein, Omru, Hinyech Behema L'mailo, Ubam Umatza L'mata, We learned yesterday that if the animal falls or a bird falls more than 10 tefachim, that's only about 3 feet, that you're not allowed to shecht it. You have to wait and see if it's a healthy bird. Nevertheless, if it jumps, if you leave it on top and it jumped down, so then Chazal say there's no cheshash of risik evarim mishum da'om da'anafsha. Because an animal knows how to jump, how to steel itself for the jumping. Russell Leimer, what?
A cat that jumps off a wall, it knows exactly how high it can go.
That's why. Oh, this answers the question. I always had this question. There used to be a cat in the dorm in the yeshiva. And it was the cat stayed in the dorm there. In the dorm there was like the pro-cat teams, the anti-cat teams. It was a big, people felt they didn't belong in the dorm. And anyway, one day, some guys got into an argument. They say if a cat, even if it jumps from the roof, it lands on its feet. So I wasn't there. I would have stopped it. But anyway, they decided they're going to throw it off the roof and see. Six stories. Anyway, the cat did not survive the event. What always struck me is that the people who did it were the pro-cat people. You know, the ones that liked the cat. But according to this, it's no riot. He's saying there's a difference when an animal jumps and when an animal is thrown. That's what he's saying.
Exactly right.
When it estimates and it has a mind to jump, it's not the same hezek as when you throw it off. The nature to jump is common. What's that word? Bayreach v'naydeid. Is the animals tried not to. So this is another example of the idea in the books of Chazal. Some of the other incredible insights into human nature, not human nature, but the biology of an animal. If an animal gets frightened, that it doesn't affect the lung in a bad way. There's a halacha that when you shecht an animal, the other animal is not supposed to see the first one being shechted. They take them in one at a time for shechita. So there's a chashash of tzuma kareya, an animal that gets frightened. We don't shecht it right away. You have to see that
still
the
today?
I'm not a doctor. I don't know, but the halacha is that way still today. Now, I don't know how they did in the Beis Hamikdash. I have no idea. I can't answer. I don't know the Metzias, but what's interesting is that if the animal saw lightning and thunder and it got frightened, then that's called the Bidei Shemayim. So then it's not a problem. Then it's a kosher. Also, Bdikusa, the ways of checking a lung, Shriyasa B'mayim Peshem Meislei, soaking it in warm water for 24 hours, the Hajar Beriak Shera. A shriveled lung, if it comes back to its form, if you soak it, it's kashim lav treifa. Umashamru rei, and they said about the rei, kakuchla kosher, a blue discoloration is kosher. Kediyusa treifa, like the red is treif, my time, hai shachar adam hu elashalaka. Diya is black. Black is from blood. Old blood turns black. Yeruka ksher. They said, I think there's something else about the lungs. If it has streaks of red, it's kosher. If it turned red entirely, it's possible. Now, the truth is, if you think about it, we just take it for granted. You go into a Beis HaShechita, and you see Sheikhtim, you see these rabbis, and they take the lung, and there are little growths on the lung, and they're pulling it off, and testing it by rubbing it, and doing all kinds of things, and we just take it for granted. In fact, it comes from a tremendous idea, a tremendous amount of knowledge in the nature of the lungs. See, that bothered me, and then I realized something. As I was reading on, like, why does he keep on going on with all these examples? The Kuzza doesn't know if it's true. We're sitting here. We wonder, you know, how many of these things are factual today. But that's not the point. The point is, if you take a book that's written to be a religious book, and you suddenly realize how much effort was putting into understanding other sciences, it astonishes you. When he starts collecting all of these things, it becomes a surprising thing that, you know, you learn a little there, a little there. And then when you read this whole list, as I'm reading, I realize that Chazal put a lot of effort into understanding these things. Now, he can't prove to the king that it's right, but he could prove that there was some effort put into it. The next one is what we call today, by a bris, we say the baby is yellow. Rav Nasa Bavli Sheviu Lefon of Yelad Yelud Shahaya Yaruk. They brought a baby that was yellow. Omalehem Imtinuloi Achipol by Damai. Just wait until the liver kicks in, until the blood absorbs. By the way, Tosfos says Yaruk is not green. Yaruk Ekarti is green. Yaruk Stam, Tosfos says, doesn't mean green. What? It means presumably yellow. Right. Esther Yerak Rekasaya. I doubt she was green, but yellow is a oriental color. Anyway, wait until the blood settles. Don't be malahim until the blood settles in the body. Take a flamila. This woman had many children that died after bris mila, and this son survived. It happened again. A very red-skinned baby. On the contrary of him, the blood has to absorb. So that had to do.
Is there any significance to the fact that for some time on
Yom
Kippur, like right after Nosan Ababli or Yosi Aglili, they list the place where they were from?
As to how they were known, generally common names tend to have something attached to it. I said, Lili, they tend to be attached. So a lot of Rabbi Yaisis. Generally, it's that way. And he had to be in an unusual place. In Bavel, they didn't call any Bavli. Right?
Yeah, it's
Israel. Former Chalev Tor Saisim, Tomei Enis Saisim. The Chalev, the fats that are considered treif, don't stick well to the place where they are. And if there's a hole, it's treif. Tor Chalev sticks well, and it seals up a hole. Umidakis dinehem, and from the precision of the dinim, they said, if you find a needle in the thickness of the stomach of an animal, now animals sometimes swallow things they shouldn't swallow. As a matter of fact, today everyone knows that we check the lungs. Very few people know that we check the besakaisis as well. Now the sheikhdim tap the whole besakaisis to see if the animal swallowed anything sharp, it didn't have to be a needle, that pierced the stomach. And Chazal said, if you find a needle in the Beis HaKaisis, so now when did that pierce the Beis HaKaisis? When it was alive or after Shechita? So we say, Nimtzal of Kairat Dam, if there's blood on it, B'yidusha Kaidim Shechita. You know, it was when it was alive. Like Nimtzal of Kairat Dam, B'yidusha Lacha Shechita. If it has no blood, then it's after Shechita. Mayinaf Gemina L'meka Chumemkar. Gemara is a case where somebody shechted an animal, and then he gave it to the butcher. He sold it to the butcher. And the butcher found the needle. So if the needle came in later, then he has no tefiyah on him. It wouldn't bleed. It doesn't travel in a mace. You can't say you sold me and I had a needle already. There's a shear, if it has a scab. You shecht an animal, a cow, gave milk, and it has a wound in the lung. What do you do with the milk that was shechted beforehand? The milk of a treif animal is treif. So it says that if the wound has a scab, then in the lung, then you know the last three, there's at least 72 hours that it had, was treif, and it's treif. Otherwise it's kosher. We give a cheskes kosher to every animal, and the milk otherwise is kosher. It's not an incredible thing. Chazal say about birds, you want to know the difference in this, it's hard to ask, how do you know? Because anybody could test this. The Torah doesn't give simanim for kosher birds. Just list the tray for birds, everything else is kosher. No, we don't know the Hebrew. So there's a way to test. Listen to this. You take a rope or a string, and you get the bird, I don't know how you get the bird to walk on it, but you get the bird to walk on it. If it puts its foot down and the rope is between its
talons,
what's it called? Then it's tame. If it splits it 2 and 2, it's treif. If it splits it 3 and 1, it's kosher. Now, how can anybody figure that out? Any bird that catches other birds and eats it is tame. One bird, we don't know if it's kosher or not, it lives happily with other birds, because zarzir, the bird called the zarzir, it's a lie, right? It's also a sign of treifus. See, even though the Torah didn't give simonim of treifus, we have simonim. Really, the reason we eat turkey today, we have no real Kabbalah on turkey, is because these simonim are true. The turkey spreads its claws or its talons, you say, this way, and it doesn't eat meat, no matter what. I don't know how they got it to walk. I don't know how you get birds to walk on a rope. If I was a bird, I wouldn't agree. But I don't know. What, you have it high enough, and you just. Another thing, they say, Simon avlad bebehema daka tinuf. The sign that an animal gave birth, miscarriage, by behemadaka, it doesn't have to have a sack, but by a larger animal, it has to have a shilia, a sack, isha shvir vishilia. It's probably the sack and the afterbirth. These are signs that there was a baby. Umamufla chachmasam vidakaisam, vidigdukam, bidorus ktsas balei atzapranayim hardaisam. One of the most amazing sets of halachas. And the truth is, I don't know how to explain it, the Diadinim called Jerusa. There's a halacha that if an animal, certain animals, claw a sheep or a goat, it's treif. They claw it, then it's treif, unless certain tests that can be done. We say that poison goes out from under the claws. And that poison, Chazal, had a very finite understanding. He brings all the differences. He says, Mashab, Jerusa's chatul v'nimiya b'gdiyam v'tloim. A drusa is when a cat or a leopard attacks sheep or goats. But drusa's chulda ba'if, or the drusa of a chulda, a weasel and a bird, and drusa l'shual, and drusa l'kelev. But not the clawing of a dog and a wolf. And drusa elamidas, and drusa is only when it's done deliberately. And drusa elamachayim. And Jesus is only when it does it when it's alive. If you take a claw and you hit it of a dead animal and you hit it, then it doesn't apply. And Jesus only if it's a pirate, like Bishane. And Jesus is only if it attacks it with its nails, not with the teeth. And Jesus only biyad, like beregel, front feet, not back feet. The poison comes out only from the hand. When the balechaim want to do it, like bemikra. And not if it happens to claw it. One of the most incredible things, they said if an animal, a living cat, claws it, then it puts in poison. Drisa is only if it does it willingly. If, let's say, a cat is clawing your sheep, and you kill the cat, and it's in there, the poison goes in at the end. When it pulls out its nails from the animal, it has to be alive unknowingly. And it sounds a little incredible. First of all, we don't know that cats have poison. You ever heard of cats have poison? Never heard of such a thing. And what's the difference if it does it deliberately or not deliberately? Somebody wrote an essay on this. And there's a sefer we have here in the shul on the treifus. And the explanation there is this. Cats, these creatures uniquely have the ability to extend their nails. I don't know what they're called. Their claws. They can extend it. They eat meat. They're eating creatures. They grab meat. The meat stays in the extended area. It's like it can open up twice, the normal clawing, and then it opens it more. In that deep recess of the claw, there's old, decayed meat. Mm. That decayed meat is poison. It gets into the blood vessels. It's poison. So if it claws accidentally without opening the claws, then it's nails, like you and I have nails. I mean, it could be dirty, but it's not there for a long time. But if it claws deliberately, then it gives poison into the blood of the animal. And that's the reference that this is referring to. The point is that a lot of Divrei Chazal, cats are poison, what are you talking about? And yet there are times that when it's examined, when people look into it, they see it so. I like to mention that there are many such things. The fact that the Gemara says cooking in the sun is not cooking in fire. I'm sure until 200 years ago, it made no sense. The sun is fire. What does Chazal think? What is the sun? A creature? Everyone thought cooking the sun is fire. Today we know that the sun is not fire. There's no oxygen there. Fire can't burn. Basically what it is a constant a series of atomic explosions of one sort or another. It's not fire. If you cook with other energies, it's not Bishul Dairaisa. So Chazal for centuries said, doesn't make any sense. They were old fashioned. You know what they think the sun is. It's not that way. The same thing with the number of stars, visible stars in the sky. God says to Avraham Avinu, your children will multiply like the stars of the heavens. There are, in the entire sphere of the sky, only roughly 3,000 visible stars. And any time you look up, we only see half the sphere. There are most 1,600 visible stars at the maximum given time. So Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, it says, Nechumish, your children will be like the sand of the earth. We know there are more than 3,000 grains of sand. And like the stars of the heavens. How did man, until Galileo came along with his telescope, how did man understand it? And then you have the Gemara in Brachis that lists the trillion stars. It says how many stars there are. And today we know it's so. A lot of these things we're privileged to understand, and some we're not privileged to understand. But the point that he's making to the Khuzar is that Chazal put effort into understanding. That's the point he's making to the king. He's not trying to prove if it's so or not, but he's giving this long list of Divrei Chazal to make that point. Back to the words he's saying. Va'amru nitla ha'kaved v'nishtayim imenu kezayis b'mokim hara. Interesting. If the liver is missing, and there's a kezayis of the liver in the place of the mara is the gallbladder, b'mokim shahaya shihaya, it's still alive there, k'shera, a person can live with a part of the liver, you don't need the whole liver. We know that's true today. They do liver transplants by cutting a piece of a liver off a living person and putting it with somebody else. Vamru mugla kosher bereya, pasul bakulya. Mugla is a pus pimple. On the lung, it's kosher. On the kidney, it's treif. Mayim zakin v'nekev, pasul bereya. A hole or reya that turns into clear water is treif. V'kosher bakulya. And the reverse by akulya. Vamru hagluda sh'nishtaya b'kasela, p'nei kol hashedra k'shera. Certain treifus, if a cell of healthy remain, then it's kosher. What?
They took
the
skin off.
They took the skin off. Gali do that. Mishnah kosav mehilchis treifus, mumei bechayris, treifus, mumei ma bechayris, mumei kainim. The Gemara says that Rav lived in a farm for 18 months to learn hilchis mumei bechar. He stayed in a farm for 18 months. Rav Schwab wrote his letters about studying the secular sciences to the five Gedalim. Four of the letters were easy to read. The Ragachev's letters, you need an interpreter. I don't know if you're ever familiar. The Ragachev's letters were all Maram Mekaymus. I read the letter. The only part I understood is he wrote, Rav stayed in a farm 18 months to learn Hilchis Mumei Bechar. So he was apparently telling us that that's part of Torah. There's a lot to talk about, a lot to explain. And these are things that we don't have it as a separate book. Vinyam Mavurei Nenu, Ubedivreyam Hanoim. We only have a Derech Agav in the words of Chazal. Agav, they mention these things. Amram Yatsu B'nei Me'ev, Olay Nikfuk Sheira. The idea that if the intestines protrude, the animal is still kosher. Vakach Amru Loshanu Loshloi Hafach Behem. Only if they didn't twist. Tafa Behem Treifa. We know this today. Somebody has a... when it protrudes, somebody has a hernia. Somebody has a hernia, right? The hernia itself is not bad. It's dangerous because it can turn, it could twist. Shnemu hu aschavi chaynenecha. Malam shavagash baruch hu kainini yis be'adam. Kivin shesapu achas men eni yachayla lichi yis. Shem created the person kain, kainini yis, mesudr. You can't live otherwise. Mashiach lemin a hefresh be'dam nida be'dam tar. Even talk about the Chazal knew the difference by looking at blood. If it's damnido or not, damzava, psulim, hadam mahava, v'dam ha, from where dam comes, dam ha-chabura, isfatayr, v'zulasa, v'kamos ha-kefe anida, isa-kaperin dam, u'beinziva isa-scharim, v'afloim she'eshvahem etzaras, mashiyah omuk misichleinu, and much more than we understand. There's an interesting piece in the Eitz Nechman on the bottom. We say there are ramachei varim, 248 limbs. He talks about the way we, how do you get to 248? So he brings a Mishnah and he has a very interesting explanation there for a different time. But anyway, this completes the Maimah HaRavi of the Kuzari.
Can you claim anywhere that this is
an Tzohar? Or can
you claim we just studied it?
That's an old dispute. What the Sheet of the Kuzari is, I don't know. I don't know what a Sheet is.
But
the names of the Treifus are, and the individual Pratim may or may not be. But it's an old dispute. There's a famous letter of Rabbeinu Avram, the son of the Rambam, that things that Chazal say Abba Mesaira, everything else in Shas is according to the science of the time. And there was a time it was disputed. I don't think the authenticity of the letter should be disputed. It's certainly been there's certainly been many Gedolim who accepted it as authentic. So today they're finding the old prints. It became a major issue about the changes that were in it, and, but be that as it may, I would assume it's safe to say. One thing I can tell you, a lot of the things that are the scientific things in Chazal that we think are way out, someday they'll understand it, because we know that in science today, what's good one day is not good another day. I'll never forget, it's many years ago, we had a girl who lives in Greenwich Village, and we were talking about serving certain vegetables. She said, "Oh, today that's healthy." I remember her saying this, one of the yuppie families. "Today, that, what do you mean today it's healthy?" He said, "Could be next year it won't be healthy. But today it's healthy, you know, it's like, it's a gagal achayzer." I'd like you to make a bracha on the cases of the seum.